Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, college football fans across the nation and around the world. This is the Tim May Show. Yes, the Tim May Show. I've been having a hard time saying it every time. I have to remind myself. I've got a co-pilot on, though, who actually posts these shows for me. And he's coming out of hiding because you know him well if you know anything about LettermanRow.com. About on3.com, and of course, even about the old Tim May podcast and now the Tim May Show. He claims he hadn't been on this show very much, if at all. He's probably right, but only because I forgot to invite him. But Spencer Holbrook of LettermanRow.com, welcome back to the Tim May Show.
Tim, it feels good to be back. Thanks for having me on. I always appreciate the conversation.
Yeah, you're such a polite young man, but you must have gotten that when you went to Ohio University. I know you didn't. I know you didn't grow up like that, son of a farmer, et cetera, out in Midwest Ohio. But we'll get into that some other time, I'm sure. But bottom line is, I wanted to have you on, man. I've got a guest this week, Tywan Malone, the recently signed transfer portal. I was about to be redundant there. The recently signed transfer portal transfer from Ole Miss, the second fella they've signed from Ole Miss in the last several months, and to the defense, joining Davis and Igbinosin. Tywan Malone, of course, big time, coming out of high school, considered a big time defensive tackle prospect, somebody that Larry Johnson was on and wanted. They wanted Tywan Malone. He opted to go to Ole Miss. And now that Ole Miss to Ohio State transfer portal pipeline, that's kind of cool sounding when you think about it, right? Is alive and well and pumping. And I've got him on just talking about a lot of things, including, you know, he's already in Columbus. He's already practicing with the team, you know, full, what you call full bore offseason summer workout started this week at Ohio State, where the coaches can be with the players, 4 hours out of the 8 hours they're allowed to work out, you know, basically, I think be in essence commanded to work out and do things with the team. And of course, guys like Marvin Harrison Jr. spend probably half their week in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, if not more. But I just wanted to get your take now that the transfer portal, I think, is closed for Ohio State. Is that correct? I mean, I don't see anybody else getting signed. Do you see anybody else floating out there that they could grab?
No, I don't think so, Tim. And I think, you know, you look at that weekend last month where the Buckeyes hosted Tywan Malone and Josh Simmons and Lorenzo Styles, and they go 3-for-3 there. And I think that's the three that they wanted from the portal. They circled those names. They realized those are guys who could help them win a national championship. They targeted him, and they got all three. And I think that's the sign of a successful weekend, if I do say so myself. I know a lot of people in the building, the support staff, were really excited about that, being able to say they went 3-for-3 on the weekend. That's a big thing for them. And so now I think that they're done. I think they're done. And I think that they're going to be okay with being done. There's not a lot of guys left in the portal. You look through there and you think, is this guy better than what we've got? Or is this guy able to give us a boost? I don't know if there's anybody else there. So I think they're done. I think they can feel really good about the moves that they made this offseason, not just in the spring window, but in the winter window as well.
I agree. I mean, you know, a lot of people want to criticize Ohio State for this, that, and the other about sneezing the wrong way, you know, or throwing the wrong way. You know what I'm talking about. But the bottom line is that I think they've got, including Davis and Igbinosin, for example, the four I like. I mean, Jahad Carter, we'll see how he comes along coming back from the injury he suffered in the spring, the transfer from Syracuse, safety, who they were expecting to make an immediate impact at least into the depth situation. But all counting him, all five of these guys, I think, will factor into the depth equation immediately, if nothing else. Do you agree with that? Yeah. Wait a minute, I'm including Davis and Igbinosin, the quarterback from Ole Miss. And like you said, the three guys you just mentioned, Lorenzo Styles, not only transferring from Notre Dame, but transferring spots from offense to defense, becoming a, a cornerback again in that cornerback safety room. You know, and then Josh Simmons, I mean, the kid they got, the right tackle they got from San Diego State, I think that we'll see how it goes, right? Those first 2 weeks of preseason camp, but
yeah,
could have immediate impact along with Tywan Malone. Go ahead.
If I had to place one right now, I would say place a prediction right now. I'd say Josh Simmons will start at right tackle. I think he's got the experience there. So mark one down, that's a starter. Then you've got Lorenzo Styles, a potential future starter. I don't think he's going to make a lot of noise this year as he goes through development and position change, but you never know. He's athletic enough to take that jump. You look at Tywan Malone. I don't think he'll start over Mike Hall and Ty Hamilton, but if you told me he was the third best defensive tackle on the roster, it won't surprise me. I think Tyleek Williams is still a little unproven as far as being able to be on the field for a long period of time, longevity. I think that's important. So Tywan Malone, you could mark him up as a major contributor. Davis and Igbinosa, same way. Jahad Carter, probably in the rotation. And oh, by the way, I know this isn't really talked about very much, but you got a new long snapper. You needed one. Mason Arnold's off to Michigan State. You saw how important a long snapper can be and making sure the plays are correct against Michigan last year. We wrote about that at LettermanRow.com. And so they go out, they get an Arizona State starter who was a pretty good long snapper last year in John Furlman. I know people don't come here to talk about the long snapper, but they got a starter out of the transfer portal, and that's one of the guys that you have to rely on to get things right for field goals, for punts, for key situations. And so that's why I think they really hit a home run here, is even the guys we don't think about that they've picked up in the portal, they've done a really good job of identifying this is exactly what we need, this is exactly why we're going into the portal, and this is who we're going to grab out of it.
Dude, do you realize, I mean, I know you realize this because we've talked about it, you, me, and Andy Backstrom, but those two fake punts they tried to run last year were so huge because neither one of them came to fruition. I think the deep snapper was as involved in that not happening as anybody, but just against Georgia, and of course when they, just another split second earlier, and they're rocking and rolling still against Georgia as we speak. Matter of fact, they probably win the national championship because I think that play would have really flipped that game big time. Not the game was already sort of flipped, and then of course the Michigan debacle, that was crazy. I mean, they had the perfect setup; it just, didn't get the ball off, but. It's crazy how that works, isn't it? And what those two plays would have, the difference they would have made in that season.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that Michigan play, and they did get the playoff. It just didn't get snapped to the right guy. Tommy Eichenberg's looking for the football. Mitch Rossi's looking for, those guys were looking for the ball. They knew it was supposed to come to them, and there was nothing but green grass on that left side. If they score there, they probably go up 27-20 instead of being down 24-20, and then you give the ball back to Michigan because – it hit Jesse Mirko in the chest and you got to punt it away at that point. So, it's crazy that just the way that things work sometimes, they fake a punt against Rutgers and we get that debacle, but then they try to fake one against Michigan and you get a debacle out of that. You try to fake one against Georgia and it's one of the all time great timeouts now in maybe college football history, just because it was such a timely timeout that proved to be, a winner for Georgia, and it ended up winning them the national championship ultimately. So
absolutely,
it's just weird that those things happen. You're talking about legacies hinging on a couple punts there, and it's just, it's crazy. But now they've got a new long snapper. It's, he's got to have all those, that stuff right, or else, something like that could happen again to Ohio State.
Yeah. I was just talking about, the play before the play against Michigan was, that's crazy. Well,
that whole drive, Tim, with the headbutting and get into the situation, and CJ Stroud gets you all the way back into respectable territory, so you even have a chance to fake a punt. I mean, you could write a book about that series there, that game, and just crazy what those things could do to a game.
Exactly, but man, cover somebody. That's the other chapter in that book. that's the other book. You could have a book about that play, and then you could have a book about oh my gosh, are you kidding me? On the pass plays that were given, real quick, somebody made some comment. I think you wrote a story a couple of weeks ago or last week for LettermanRow.com about the pass coverage or something. Anyway, but somebody, or we might have had a video, but somebody commented, well, They've got to learn to turn their head and look back for the ball. And I go on almost every big play that Ohio State gave up against Michigan and Georgia. That had nothing to do with anything. It was guys running wide open and free, or a guy missing a tackle, you know. And it was like, you know, everybody has their own special ointment for fixing whatever's wrong, right? And turn your head back and look for the ball. They really don't even teach that in the NFL anymore. It's like, you know, watch the guy's eyes come up through the ball, you know, with your hands. And you know, and they don't want the man-on-man guy to lose sight of his man, you know, and which we've seen happen many times. But I digress, as usual, and I appreciate you coming on. Hey, let's get to my conversation with Tywan Malone, who, you know, I'm intrigued by this guy. It's like I told him, I said, you know, football, what the difference between football and 7-on-7, yeah, is the big guys, you know. Mm-hmm. The big guys are what make or break your football team ultimately. From good to elite, make it from good to great to elite, is the big guys. How do they play in the big games and stuff? And here's a guy coming from the Southeastern Conference after 2 years at Ole Miss. And what intrigued me as much about him being a possible immediate contributor on the Ohio State defensive line, definitely in the rotation, is also his baseball, which he's pretty much given up. But, dude, he could smack a baseball, you know? Yeah. Matter of fact, yeah. his first game with Ole Miss, when he came up and intending to play both sports, you know, he hits a home run and becomes sort of a legend down there. But what is he, 6'6", 310, whatever his size is, you know, he was the Bambino, as I called him, you know, growing up in Bergen, New Jersey, playing for Bergen Catholic, and then going to Ole Miss, and immediately, you know, he was part of a national championship baseball team down there. And that's kind of an incredible experience, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, to be able to do the things that he's done, he'll walk into that Ohio State meeting room and be one of the only guys with a national title ring, which Correct. Is kind of crazy. You think about the guys who are in there right now, and the coaching staff is just incredible, and it's littered with, you know, very talented people. And Tywan Malone's going to have the only ring on because of a national championship in baseball of all sports at Ole Miss. So just an interesting little tidbit there to follow. And
yeah, it's really funny. They recognize that Ole Miss National Championship baseball team, I think, early in the season, football season last year, and there's this video you could see they've got them all out on the football field at halftime. I think it was a halftime. And it kind of reminded you of the old high school videos where the king and queen of the homecoming, the king is like part of the football team, so he's out there with his football uniform on. And there was Tywan Malone out there with his football uniform on. But anyway, I digress. Hey, let's get to my conversation with him. We'll come back and hit a couple of other things. Something interesting I want to talk to you about in your life. But ladies and gentlemen, here's my conversation with Tywan Malone. As promised, ladies and gentlemen, a special guest. Heck, he's already moving in to Columbus, Ohio. He's already had a workout or two with the Ohio State football team. Things have started in earnest this week. And Tywan Malone, man, welcome to the Tim May Show.
I appreciate that. Before we start, I just want to put a special shout out to the 1870 Society Club. They really helped me out with my moving and stuff like that, getting me settled in. So I just want to thank them for that first and foremost.
Wow, so, they provide moving services. I mean, that's a pretty nice collective, isn't it?
No, they didn't provide no moving service. They just helped me find out where are some good spots in Columbus that I can live at. So they helped me with that stuff. So
I got you. Well, it's good to have friends, right? Even when you're moving to a new place. I would think Davis and Igbinosin knows you, though, doesn't he? Y'all are buddies, aren't you?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah, we is. Yes, sir.
This Ole Miss pipeline Ohio State is tapped. What do you think? What do you think, Tywan? I mean, number one, let's just get into it real quick. Obviously, you're transferring from Ole Miss. You jumped into the transfer portal. That portal must be pretty big to get you in it. Mm-hmm. But number one, why'd you jump in the portal? Explain to people. And number two, why Ohio State?
Well, first and foremost, I entered the transfer portal based off of just a feeling that I had and just talking to my peoples, and I just felt like it was the right decision for me and my family to do. All the credit in the world with all the coaches at Ole Miss, like, they showed me nothing but love since I've been down there. I can say they really taught me a lot about football and all the keys that I need to live in the world right now. So I just want to shout out to that. And then the reason why I left is just because, like I said, it was just I felt like I needed a new fresh start, a new beginning, and that's pretty much it. And then for Ohio State is, you know, Coach Johnson. He's a legendary D-line coach. You know, he produced the kids in the league. And when I was coming out of high school, he was really someone I was really close with. But then I ended up choosing Ole Miss for to play at. So he still kept touching me, always making sure I was good. And then once I hit the portal and stuff like that, he called my phone. And then I knew at that point that I knew where I had to go.
Yeah, it's funny. Davis and Igbinosin is a guy Ohio State really didn't call, you know, when in the original recruiting. And but as soon as they rang, this is a place he wanted to come to, Ohio State. And you're a guy they wanted, but you went down to taste the Southeastern Conference in Ole Miss, right? You know, what did Davison – I would think you at least contacted him. Hey, what's it like up there? I mean, what kind of feedback did you get from him?
I mean, yeah, once I entered the portal, I knew that he ended up coming to Ohio State. So once they gave me the call when I was in the portal, I hit him up by accident. I said, hey, man, like, I'm thinking about coming down here. Tell me what you think of the program. He just said nothing but great, amazing things about the program. He just told me how they're gonna treat you well. And then if you just come down here putting that work, they're gonna take care of you. So I really liked that for him. And then like I said before, I already knew most of the coaches and stuff that from my previous times at a high school. But nah, Davison didn't have nothing. He just had nothing but good things to say about the program, and that was pretty much our conversation.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty funny, man. Word of mouth is better than almost any other thing, isn't it? I mean, yeah. You can get it from somebody who's been there, done that, right?
Yep.
By the way, T-Y-W-O-N-A, how do you pronounce that, Taiwan?
Taiwan, same thing, Taiwan, yeah.
I know, but why not Taiwan or Taiwan-on? I mean –
I don't know. You gotta ask my dad. He's the one who named me, so you gotta go through him. I don't know why it sounds like that or why is it say like that, but I just know that's how I go by. So,
well, I know whose side you're on in the Chinese Taiwan conflict, but we'll, that's for another day, man. That's for another day. Number one, explain to people when you move. You know, when you make this transfer portal move, obviously you got some help, like you said, from your new best friends, you know, moving up here and stuff. But what all do you have to take care of? You got to make sure you're in good academic standing, right? You had done that, right? And but just what all has to happen between the time you make your decision to the time you're sitting here talking to me in your new apartment, your new digs?
Yeah, it was. I wasn't gonna say it was a long process because it wasn't really that long. It was probably about a couple months and stuff. So, but like once I entered, I was just showing out, just saying who's going to call my phone. And it happened to be Ohio State. So I already knew what the program was about. And then they just reassured me about all the new things they got going on, what the depth looked like down here, and that they said that they need and they need help in my position. So I just answered the phone. And I told them I'm coming.
Yeah, but then you had to make sure you were done academically at Ole Miss, right? I mean, you have to be up to date.
I ain't move here like exactly as soon as I come in. I had to finish my finals in school. I was still in school.
Sure.
While we was doing the recruitment process, so I had to do all my classes and finish all that. But then once finals was done and everything was squared away, I just made my move down here.
That's what I mean. You have to take care of business after you make up your mind, and then you show up. And how hard is it moving to another? You know, you're coming from Ole Miss. I mean, Oxford, Mississippi is about as big as my backyard. I got a pretty big backyard, but it's not that big. You're moving back to something you're kind of used to, a metropolitan kind of area. You know, ladies and gentlemen, he's from Bergen Catholic, Bergen, New Jersey, which is right across the river from the Big Apple. Right? What are y'all the Big Peach? What are you guys at Bergen? I didn't mean to stump you, man. Y'all, I don't think y'all have a nickname. I was just trying to see if you'd give.
Oh yeah, we don't. We just go by Crusaders. That's all I know.
Yeah. The big guys from Bergen. That's what you guys are. But does it feel good to be back in sort of a metro area? I mean, I don't know. You know, you probably liked Oxford. I don't know.
Yeah, I like Oxford. From my experience, Oxford was just a nice, quiet town.
Yeah.
It's a mind right to give everything you need to get done. It wasn't too big, but moving down here, it do remind me a lot back home, you know, with the city and all the stuff and stuff like that, all the buildings and stuff. So it really wasn't a hard transaction for me because it's something I was used to my whole life living. And then when I went to Oxford, I would probably say it was probably more of a difficult adjustment Yeah. Just because I came from the city and then I moved down to the south. But then other than that, it just feels right back at home to me.
I know, man. I figured it would. I just wanted to see what you'd say, you know. Oh man, I pine for the small town days where there's one Raising Cane's instead of 10. But I digress. One Bojangles. What do you think you bring, Taiwan, that will make you a success at Ohio State? What is it that you bring along with your attitude? Obviously, you've got a great attitude for a defensive lineman. Well, what do you bring that you think will aid and abet Ohio State getting back to a Big Ten championship game and a possible national championship?
My accountability. Like, I'm a type of kid that you put your trust in me, I'm going to have your back. I'm going to end up running through a wall for you. So that's a big thing with me. It's all about trust and loyalty. So what else will I bring to the table? Just my game in general. Like, if you need me to do certain stuff, oh, I'm right there. I'm going to do it. If you need me to line up in a five or line up in a three, I'm all with it. Along is just whatever you really need for me to do, that's exactly what I'm going to come and do. That's how I put it like that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people say they do that, but, I mean, you clearly have the physical capability of playing – what I call the piano up and down that line, don't you? I mean, you do have that ability, right?
Yes, sir.
And wait a minute. I don't know how to ask this, but I'll ask it straight up. Are you best just charging forward, or are you more of a guy that likes to stack people up and find where the ball is? How would you you know what I mean? How would you explain your approach to the actual game?
I'm more of an attack and react guy. Like, yeah. I like to attack blocks, get vertical and find the ball. Once I get past the other line of scrimmage, that's how I describe my game. Just like to disrupt the line and just get to the ball carry.
Having played in the Southeastern Conference, what do you think was the biggest benefit that you bring to the table? You know what I mean? That has helped you develop.
Just the competition every day. The teams that we play, the big-time schools, you know, you got the Bamas, you got the Georgia, all that. So just the teams that I compete against. I compete against the best players that go to the SEC. So I feel like I learned a lot from the players on my team and the players that I played against, just watching their film, see how they do certain things, how they take on certain blocks. And then I just adjust that into my game and just went there from on now.
Yeah, no plays off, I think, is the way I would describe it, right? When you're – it's
yes, sir.
It's man on man when you're out there with the big boys. Same way with Ohio State. I mean, hey, did you watch the Ohio State Georgia game?
I saw a glimpse of it. At that time, I was probably doing my work and just trying to be in the crib, chilling with my peoples and stuff like that. But I definitely caught a glimpse of that game for sure.
No, you were getting ready to celebrate New Year's. That's what you were doing, man. The ball was dropping. Well, at 12:59:59, Ohio State was winning, and at midnight, Ohio State lost. Or excuse me, 11:59:59, Ohio State was winning, and at midnight, Ohio State lost. Do you feel like you, when you watch a game like that, or you look back on something like that, do you feel like, are you the kind of player who feels like you could have made a difference? You understand what I'm saying? Meaning, as good as Ohio State is, do you feel like you're one of those guys that could make a difference?
Oh yes, absolutely. Well, the game, my game style, and how I play, mixing with the coaching's ability to teach me and stuff, of the new stuff I need to learn. I feel like I could make an impact. I can make an impact in any game, any front, any defensive scheme that I want. I just tell me where I need to go, and I'm going to get there. That's how I put it like that.
Come on. Let's just jump around here now. When you were when did you realize you were a big man? When did you realize you were going to be a big man? You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about physically a big fellow. When did it strike you that you were – you know, physically a little bit bigger than the guys in the neighborhood, the fellas you were playing with?
I'll say ever since pretty much kindergarten, because I always been the biggest kid in my class all my years. So, and leading up to high school, then we, you know, there was other kids my height, so I felt more like, okay, I'm not the only big guy around. But other than that, from middle school to elementary school, I always been the biggest kid in school, so I already knew I was bigger than half the kids that I was in school with. So that's when I found out.
Yeah, I've watched a lot of videos on you and stuff. And you've always had a great, I don't know, attitude, personality and stuff. And but I was wondering, when you were a little kid, but you were the biggest kid, was it ever uncomfortable for you, or did you feel good about it?
I didn't really mind it, because I knew I was bigger than half the other kids. So they all treat me the same. There was no crazy thing to it. So like you said, I already knew how to handle that. I knew I couldn't do certain things that other kids can do, yeah, just because of how big I was, and I knew I couldn't feel me. So that's pretty much it. That's all I really had for that.
I was going to say, in Pee Wee, you probably had that X on your helmet, didn't you? or did you even get to play Pee Wee? Were you too big to play Pee Wee?
I was too big. I was too big to play, actually. Like, story went out. Damn, I forgot what grade I tried out for my town's team.
Yeah.
And I didn't know it was a weight limit type. I thought you just play football. So yeah, when it came down, I've been practicing with them in Samoa. So once it came down to play the game and we all had a win, they said I was too big and I couldn't play with the kids. So I had to go to unlimited. So that was that.
Wow. Yeah. And the thing about you, though, is, I mean, you know, you're not a, as I explained to people, I've been on a bunch of, you know, radio shows and TV talking about you and stuff. And you're a big guy, but you're not a fat guy. I mean, just watching you play baseball, and we'll get to that in a minute, but you're not, have you always been pretty trim and in pretty good shape? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, just big, you know what I mean? I mean, was there ever a time when you were just a fat guy, or have you always been sort of just big?
No, nah, I always just been big. Like, I always knew I had, like, I always liked to play sports. I always liked to do activities outside with my friends and stuff like that. So yeah. I wasn't, we could say I was just some, like, big, big guy, but I was a big dude. But I never actually felt like I was a big guy, if that makes sense. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, I know exactly what you're saying. And, by the way, you know what that was?
What?
That was a smack, man. That was as close as I could get with a hairbrush to basically simulating a bat hitting a ball and it going about 450 feet. You have lived that many, 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 many times, hitting a baseball. Yeah. What is it like to hit a home run, and not just a home run, but a big home run?
It's the most amazing experience in the world, to be honest, just to see how far the ball goes and just seeing the ball jump off your bat and to see where it lands. And then you get to jog around the bases. You ain't got to worry about trying to run hard, trying to beat throws. You already know you scoring. So it don't even matter. You can take your time around them bases.
The Bambino, ladies and gentlemen, are you going to try to play baseball? Obviously you play some baseball at Ole Miss, and I think correct me if I'm wrong, maybe I'm wrong. I think your first at bat, you hit a home run, didn't you, at Ole Miss? Am I wrong about that? I think you did, didn't you?
My first ever at bat?
Yeah, it might have been your first game you hit a home run, though, didn't you? I think it was right center.
I ain't going to lie. I can't remember exactly when I hit
my first. Because you hit so many. I know. Yeah. Yeah. What's my favorite kid?
I really don't like to keep track of that. I just like to do what I have to do and then move on to the next at bat. That's how.
Yeah, but that still had to feel pretty good because, you know, everybody's going, this hot shot, he's going to play football and baseball, and then boom, you know, over the fence. I mean,
I always knew I was capable of doing that. Like, ever since a little kid, I was bomb. So I always knew I had that ability to be able to do all that. So it was really nothing new to me. It just kind of get the bat to the ball. Get the ball as far as I can.
But I would think from Pee Wee on, Little League on, you've been the guy, haven't you? I mean, right? Either clean up or I'd put you in third in the order just because I want you to bat that first inning. You know what I'm talking about? What is that like? You know, I asked you a while ago about playing football and being a big guy, but what is that like to be in that sport and being dominant? And, you know, you're saying, what is that feeling like? Because you've only known that feeling.
I'll probably feel like that's the best feeling in the world, just to see everybody's mouth drop when I hit the ball. I'm just like, yeah, I told you I could do this. Yeah, I thought I was joking, but I showed y'all what's up, so.
Do you give it up to a pitcher when he doesn't try to walk you? He does try to challenge you. Does he get a check mark in your book? Hey, this is a guy. Hey, I like this guy. He's competitive.
For sure. Because I like to compete. So I like the people to challenge me and I'll challenge them back. If you can give me your best, I'm gonna give you my best. Just help it so you better not miss. So that ball gonna go far.
All right. That's what I want to ask you now. You don't remember that? You know, your first game or first at bat, maybe at Ole Miss. What is one home run you definitely remember? And the thing about it is, man, you hold that the bat looks like a toothpick when you're holding it. It's pretty interesting. Reminds me of a former Ohio State player named Frank Howard, who ended up playing for the Washington Senators way back. way back in the 60s, you know, and stuff. I mean, he would hold a bat and it looked like a toothpick in his hands. Go ahead now.
My favorite home run at Ole Miss.
Yeah. Go ahead.
That'd be my first one. Like, that was probably because it was my first ever college home run in the SEC. Well, playing for an SEC team. So that is definitely, I would just had a big old smile when going around the bases. Like, it was just one of them achievements. Was like, I knew I could do this moment. I knew I was built for this moment. I knew I could do it. And I just executed that time. So it was a big moment for me.
I got to watch you, man, because you told me what you just said a while ago. You don't remember that. And I knew you did because that like cemented it with everybody. You got interviewed after the game. I mean, it was a big moment because it also proved you were legit being a two sport player. Right. I mean, it proved your legitimacy, right?
Yes, sir.
Are you going to try to do the, have you asked about playing baseball at Ohio State, or are you pretty much now a football major?
No, I'm just a football major as of right now. So
and how tough? Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tyler.
No, go ahead. Answer your question.
Yeah, I was going to say, how tough is it to look in your rearview mirror and see baseball? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. It was a difficult choice to stop playing and focus on one. But like at the same time, I knew that at the end of the day, I knew I was going to have to choose one and to further my career. So when I stopped playing at Ole Miss, I just feel like football was a better opportunity for me. And I feel like I can go far with that. So I'm just going to ride with that and just give that all my best and see what that can take me.
I got you. Hey, last thing. Ohio State, obviously, when this is running, Ohio State has jumped into full time into its summer conditioning program. And you get to meet with the coaches and do all kinds of things, you know. And do you feel like a man in a hurry right now to prove yourself? I mean, you know, obviously the season isn't that far away when you think about it. September 2nd or whatever is going to come mighty quickly. But do you feel like you're a man in a hurry, or how would you describe your sense right now?
I wouldn't say I'm a man in a hurry. I'm more so say that I'm here to make a point, to prove something, just not to people but to myself, that you can really be dominated if you put everything in your heart, your mind, everything you need into it. So it wasn't really no rush for me. I knew I was going to have to come in here to be a dude. Like, that's if you go to any top program, you got to come in there and show them why they chose you and why you chose them. You just got to give them all you got. So I wouldn't say there's no pressure or no rush or anything. I feel like I just got to take it day by day and just give the best. If I can give the best I can give each and every day, it's going to end up with good results.
Yeah, that's what gets me about Ohio State. I've said this on a bunch of times is, now in this program, you know, everybody's there for a purpose. You don't have slackers. You know what I mean? There aren't guys just gliding through practice or gliding through meetings. Cause if you do, you get left behind. And you looking around that room, you know, you got JT Tuimoloau there, probable All-American coming up this year. Maybe Jack Sawyer, same thing, you know, Tyleek Williams, you know, sitting there, you and him are going to be going at it. I mean, right on down to Mike Hall. I mean, Ty Hamilton there, that's a pretty nice room you've stepped into, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Have they welcomed you with open arms? How would you describe the welcome?
The welcome was great. I actually, when I came down here, I was with Tyleek and Ty. They was the people that were showing me around, and we just got along, hanging out, chilling, playing the little video games we'd be playing, and just talking about Ohio State. And they was telling me that this is the place. If you want to get developed, you want to work hard, and you want to win big championships, you got to come right here. They're going to do all that for you. All you got to do is just put in the work, put your mind, your heart, your effort, everything into it. You're going to come out good with that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tywan Malone, who has now dedicated himself to smacking offensive linemen out of the way instead of smacking baseballs. Tywan, thanks for joining the Tim May Show, my man.
Appreciate you for having me. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate Tywan Malone sitting down for a few minutes there as he was moving in to his apartment in Columbus. And like I said, you know, Spence, he's now taking part in the off-season drills. I'm not sure you should call them off-season because it's definitely the season for the football players, because really their preseason camp, really when you think about it, started this week, right? I mean, building toward these aren't OTAs, you know, where they go and come, building toward the start of preseason camp in August. And of course that season opener at Indiana on September 2nd, but You know, I really like the personality of Tywan Malone. And, you know, he's fit in, it seems like, according to him, he's fit in pretty well with his new teammates. You kind of get that sense, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that this is just a great time for guys to, you know, take what they did in the winter and translate it onto the field a little more.
Yeah.
You get on the field a little more for drill work and teammates, you know, getting on the field together, receivers and running backs, and quarterbacks or defensive backs, you know, getting on the field together a little more in that summer than they do the winter. So, but you're also in the weight room a lot. And so, you know, the winter and the summer, great times for the development, especially those young guys that get time with their teammates, get acclimated to life at Ohio State. Spring ball obviously is down to business. It's spring ball, 1 to 15, then 15 to 45 or whatever it is, you know, leading up to September there in August. So I really like this time of year. I think that it's great, especially for a guy like Tywan Malone, who arguably should have already been in the program for 2 years. I think maybe,
yep,
maybe he, I don't think that he regrets what he did, but Ohio State was a major player for his recruitment. And now 2 years later, he ultimately ends up being at Ohio State. And so you kind of see that he, you know, went back on that decision at Ole Miss and comes back to Ohio State where he maybe should have been all along. So
yeah. But what a pipeline. What a pipeline with Ibanosa and Tywan Malone, the New Jersey, Ole Miss, Ohio State. You know what I mean?
It's a route.
Kind of like a Keystone pipeline. Go ahead now. What?
If I were driving from Bergen, New Jersey, or Union, New Jersey, I probably wouldn't stop in Oxford, Mississippi. But
to
each their own, and everybody's path is a little different, Tim.
But the great thing about both those guys, now you brought it up with Tywan, is you got a taste playing. And, you know, obviously Davison started 11 games last year, if I remember correctly, the number for Ole Miss at cornerback as a freshman, you know. But you gotta get a taste. You got to slap in the face of the intensity playing in the Southeastern Conference, the intensity you have to play with, you know, each and every day. And I think it's that way in the Big Ten. I mean, you look at Ohio State's schedule right now, you know, you've broken it down before, but I mean, there are Notre Dame, there are challenges on this schedule. Notre Dame, Wisconsin, Penn State, Michigan, just to name four, those are four big time challenges for this team where things will be up in the air going into those games, especially what promises to be some kind of interesting time slot for that Wisconsin game, right? At Wisconsin, Luke Fickell in his first year, that's the last Saturday in October. You know, I've been to games up there at night, you know, if we hadn't been declared a night game yet, but that's a tough place to play. I mean, that's an understatement, you know, but we've seen a lot of Ohio State dreams go down in flames against, at least three of these four teams.
Let's also not, Tim, just skate past September 16th. And I think that's weird to talk about. But if there's one team that's going to test the Ohio State secondary early in this schedule, it is Western Kentucky.
Yep.
That team will throw the football. And they are not afraid to do it four times and give you the ball back.
Yep.
And if you don't stop them, they're going to throw for 600 yards. And if you
Did you fix it or not, right?
Yeah, because Indiana's not going to give you much to worry about, and Youngstown State's not going to give you much to worry about. But before you head to Notre Dame, you got to face Western Kentucky, and that team's going to throw the football now. So, there's some interesting tests on this schedule, Western Kentucky and Maryland included, if I can throw two more in there.
Absolutely. And, Maryland's only problem is having to play Ohio State in Ohio Stadium. You know, that doesn't go as well for them as playing them in whatever that's called over there, Terp Field. But Western Kentucky. But I'm already looking ahead. I've watched some stuff about Western Kentucky and read some things. I really think, you know, speaking of having Tywan Malone on my show this week, but I just really think the Ohio State defensive line could be the real difference maker in that game. It needs to be, but I really think it could be based on the matchups. You know, we'll talk more about that as we get closer to that game. And speaking of matchups, before we break or move on here and call it a day, you're getting a matchup. Is it made in heaven? You're getting married. What, June the what?
Won't give away the date on the show, Tim. Won't give away the venue either, but you're coming up.
Yeah, you don't want any crashers like Prince Harry and stuff, but go ahead.
Yeah, I don't need Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson showing up or Will Ferrell to crash any wedding. So
yeah,
but it's coming up pretty quickly. And Corey and I are really excited. We can't wait. Obviously, big day for us. A lot of planning still yet to do. A lot of things still left to do on the checklist. But definitely looking forward to you know, everything that's coming our way, and looking forward to a couple weeks away from the job as well, right after, in the immediate aftermath.
Yeah, but my fella, you're getting to go to Hawaii. I'll give that away. You're getting to go to Hawaii for your honeymoon, and that'll be a great trip. But then, you know, just taking that big step. And are you nervous even now, just thinking about it? Obviously, y'all are planning a big wedding. You know, I think every day you're doing something for it. I think my wife and I, we pretty much spent about 2 days on our wedding. Of course, that was back in, we got married in Massachusetts, and you know, small ceremony, but still it was fun. And but are you nervous, or how would you explain it to people?
Yeah. I mean, I think that I would be a fool to say that I'm not nervous. You know, it's kind of like when I proposed, you know the answer, but you still get all nervous about it.
Yep. So
yeah, it's something that I've been processing for a little while now. I think she has as well. Just a big day with both of our families and a lot of people that we care about and who we like to think care about us pretty deeply. And so there's not a lot to be nervous about, but you still get that when it happens. And so, yeah, here in the next couple of weeks will be a little bit of a rush, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, when you've got the picture of you proposing to her on your Twitter, you know, Twitter handle, I think you still do, don't you?
Yeah.
That means it's a pretty important situation for us. I wish you all the best, you know, and of course I got to get around to returning your wedding gift I gave you and get you something else, you know. But that's the coinky dink of life there. Sometimes two great minds think alike. And that happened to be the case with me and someone who I won't name, but I'm going to take care of you, my man. But I wish you all the best, both you and Corey. I wish you all the best. And if I don't see you between now and then, because it is a big moment. It's, you know, it's becoming a real grown-up, so to speak, you know. But you feel like that too, don't you?
Yeah, I felt like a grown-up for a while. I actually related all back to Ohio State football. It's crazy that this is going to be my fifth year covering the team. And, you know, I don't have anything on 40 years. I'm 1/8 of the way there, I guess, this year.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just think back to August 31st, 2019 in the Horseshoe and watching Ryan Day versus Lane Kiffin and Justin Fields, you know, first couple plays there running for a touchdown. And just think back to that. And then, you know, almost so much time has gone by, 5 years of covering the team now. And it's just crazy to think about that it's gone that fast. And, you know, Corey and I have been together for more than 5 years. And it's crazy to think of that all going by so fast. And so, yeah, I feel like an adult more every day, probably more every time I play golf. My back and you know, some muscles and stuff is starting to catch up to me when I hear people say, "Oh, you're still young." Well, that doesn't mean I don't get sore when I do. So, you know, you feel different
than
an adult every day.
Hey, dude, ask Will Zalatoris about your back in golf, or a guy named Tiger Woods. It's not our totally real natural motion, you know. It's like I don't think God intended for us to chop wood or play golf, but I may be wrong about that. Hey, real quick, before we go, I just wanted to, you know, people know me, know that I also go to Indianapolis every year, post stuff on my YouTube channel, and I get great response from that, from the videos I post. And, you know, it never fails to deliver some memorable moment every year in Indy. And watching Graham Rahal make the field and then get bumped from the field because he basically had a car he couldn't go back out in to defend himself because of a broken weight jacker on the car. And we could get into that some other time on some other podcast, but just to see him after 15 straight Indy 500s, and he's come close over there several times to being a factor, if not winning that race, to see him suddenly bumped out because he couldn't defend himself, and to see the raw emotion, both from him, his father, and of course, his beautiful wife, Courtney Force, former funny car driver in NHRA, and his two young daughters, so cute. But just to see that all play out and be feet away from it is, you know, it's both a privilege and wow, what a moment you don't forget, you know. And I've been privileged to see a lot of stuff over there, and that's one of them. And and it'll definitely stick in my mind forever. And I don't know if you paid any attention to that over the weekend, Spence, but you know, getting in a race car and going fast around Indianapolis is not all about just having guts and putting your foot to the floor. Things have to be just right, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like, you know, I equate everything back to football because it's what
yeah,
I love.
Yeah, me too. Like or vice versa. Yeah.
It's like trying to win a national championship, trying to even make the Indy 500, let alone win the thing. You know, Ohio State has a punt, like we just talked about. The long snapper's supposed to give it to an up back. And next thing you know, Michigan scored another touchdown and you're out of the Big Ten championship game.
Yes.
And you think that you've got this perfect thing dialed up. Graham Rahal thinks he's got this lap dialed up that's really great. Then he gets bumped from the race. And you sit back and think, man, if that one little thing would have just went a different way, I might have won the Indy 500. Well, if Marvin Harrison Jr. doesn't get taken out of the Peach Bowl, Ohio State might have won a national championship. So, you know, that's what the fragility, the greatness, but also the fragility of sports, right, is that
yes.
You know, these little tiny things could go differently. Like if T. Higgins catches the ball and then tucks it instead of holding it out and, you know, still fumbles.
That was a bad replay.
Well, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm with you 100%.
It's just those, you know, if Maurice Claret doesn't run down Sean Taylor and strip the ball from him, Ohio State in 2014 was snapping a 40-year streak rather than a 10-year streak.
Yes.
So, you know, it's just one of those crazy things where, you know, for Graham Rahal, it's terrible and you watch it. And we kind of got the duality of sport this weekend, right? Graham Rahal heartbroken to miss the Indy 500. Then you've got Michael Block at the PGA Championship up at Oak Hill, acing number 15 with Rory McIlroy hanging on him and, you know, making a few hundred thousand dollars as a PGA professional. So the sports are simply the best, Tim. They're the worst and the best at once. And that's what makes them so great, right?
Yeah. And real quick before we go, you know, and this has always been a pet peeve of mine but it's what makes sports sports. It's what makes the Ohio State Michigan game the game, is that the fans give a damn about their team, you know, and feel bad when their team loses. And I understand that and feel ecstasy when their team wins. But, you know, I've always, and I'm glad I kind of got into sports writing because I've always felt this way. I like watching the show. You know what I mean? I like watching it happen. But the fact that there's a winner or a loser kind of takes away from the effort sometimes, you know? And, you know, like we were just talking about, Ohio State got beat by Georgia 42-41, not 42-0. You know, but the difference of one point being the winner or loser. I mean, at Indy the other day, Alex Palou wins the pole. This is a four-lap qualifying run at an average of more than 234 miles an hour, and he wins the pole position over Rinus VK by basically 0.0 something of a second. I mean, excuse me, of a mile per hour average over four laps. Around a 2.5-mile oval. You know, Rinus VK had a hell of a run, man. So yeah. Did Felix Rosenquist, who was third. And that's your front row for the Indianapolis 500. But Alex Palou gets all of the credit. I mean, gets all of the acclaim. He's the pole winner for the 2023 Indy 500, when, in fact, you can't even compute. You can't even think in your head quick enough the difference between him and Rinus VK. So that's what always gets me about sport, is unless somebody just falls down and, you know, refuses to play or refuses to give effort, I think everybody should be applauded for the effort and then enjoy what you just witnessed as a fan, you know. But that's just the way I think, because really what's driving the collectives, what drives the furor for Ohio State, Alabama, Michigan, Penn State, USC, Texas football, I'm just naming a few, right, of the Blue Bloods, is it the passion of the alumni base and of the Subway alumni, you know, that really give a damn about their school and take pride in it, almost like you take pride in your country's army, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting, Tim, because, like, you know, Ohio State and Georgia will look back in 15 years as one of the great, great all-time semifinal games ever. You got the Georgia Oklahoma Rose Bowl, you've got Ohio State Georgia here in in the Peach Bowl. I was just happy to be a small sliver of that, being in the press box and being able to see it in person, thanks to Letterman Monroe. But, you know, it's crazy that, it also makes me think of Noah Ruggles, who is now the most accurate kicker in Ohio State history. And I wrote about that this weekend at lettermonroe.com, and I tweeted out that he's going to be hard to replace. And that's the duality of sport again, is fans were tweeting me back, and I got some direct messages from people just berating me for saying that he would be hard to replace because he couldn't make a 50-yard field goal.
Yeah.
This is a guy who's the most accurate kicker now, percentage-wise, in Ohio State history. You know, Mike Nugent's still revered around Ohio State, and you know, then you've got this Noah Ruggles thing where you kind of have to compartmentalize what happened. You know, that's what Ohio State fans always have to do, and that's what, you know, the great moments in sports have a loser,
yeah,
but they don't have to be remembered as losers. They can be remembered as a team who lost, not losers.
Yeah,
and I think that's important to remember. Like Graham Rahal lost his bid to make the Indy 500. That doesn't make him a loser. It just means that he lost the race. And I think,
it brings to the fore the team aspect of everything, because it wasn't, you know, they had problems with all four of their cars being fast enough. It had nothing to do with the driver being, like I said, gutsy enough. And that little bit of difference makes such a huge difference, you know, in race cars. It's the closest field in Indy 500 history. You know, it was only like 3.5-4 miles an hour between the front row and the back row. I mean, of qualifying. I mean, that's nuts. And so, yeah. And the same thing with Noah Ruggles, you know, well, his field goal won the Rose Bowl the year before, you know? So, you know, you're remembered basically for what you just did yesterday. So for the most part, and what are you going to do for me tomorrow? But hey, like I said, Spence, happy marriage. Happy wife, happy life. Keep that in mind throughout. That's my advice to you. And thank you for joining the Tim May Show again, my man.
Tim, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
We're going to do this a few more times in the summer after you get back from your luxurious Hawaii honeymoon. You may be all tuckered out by then. We'll see, man. But have fun near the craters of the Hawaiian Islands, will you?
I will certainly try. I'll do my best. We'll see.
All right. Yeah, the land between the craters and the ocean. That's what Hawaii is. That's all of what Hawaii is. But until next week, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate Spencer Hoberg joining me. This is Tim May for the Tim May Show. We will see you then.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.